And the Antichrist and false prophet now are cast into the lake of fire. They bypass the great white throne judgment. They're the only two. Now get this. It's very important to know this, you Bible students. Am I going too fast for you? They're the only two people, unsaved people, who will not stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. They will already be judged. We find in Revelation chapter number 20, verses number 11, all that death and hell, all of hell gives up the unsaved, and they all stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, except for the Antichrist and the false prophet, who will be actual men, okay? And that's a whole other story. They bypass hell. They bypass the great white throne judgment. They will already be in the lake of fire. They've already been judged. Are you following? So we fast forward 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ. Jesus comes. Millennial reign, he lets Satan out, who's been bound for 1,000 years. He goes about deceiving this, the Bible says, as a multitude of the sands. Who is this people he deceived? Well, again, we'll talk about this at another time, but it's not the point of the issue here. There will be scores of people under 100 years of age. We get that from Isaiah 65, who will follow Satan. He will deceive them. By the way, during the millennium, how many of y'all remember Flip Wilson? You old people, raise your hand. He used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? You know, the devil made me do it. Nobody can blame the devil during the millennium because he'll be chained. Most of us today, well, the devil made me do it. No, it was your flesh, the lust of your problem. You know, by the way, let me say this, and I got to move on. There's so much here. My ADD is really going in high gear right now, okay? Your worst problem is yourself. It's not the devil. Husband, it's not your wife. I saw you punch him. Wife, it's not your husband. Your biggest problem is who you look at in the mirror every day. Don't blame it on Satan. Matter of fact, I doubt very seriously. Now, we say, boy, Satan's been after me this week. I say it sometimes. You say it all the time, okay? But the truth be known, Satan ain't got time for you. You ain't big enough for Satan to bother. He has little demons. The Bible calls them devils, demons. They're the ones that bother. Let me give you an example of that. Remember Paul, the apostle? He talked about removing that thorn of the flesh. He says, Lord, I've had 3 times remove it, and there is a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. He didn't say Satan was sent to buffet him. He said a messenger of Satan was sent. If Satan himself didn't bother your pot. Now, I'm not saying Satan didn't, but you get the point. It was a messenger of Satan who was sent to buffet, beat up that's a whole other story with the Apostle Paul, but you get the point. Satan got bigger fish to fry than me and you. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan cannot be in Israel. Satan cannot be in America. Satan cannot be in Haiti. Satan cannot be all in one place, okay? 8 billion people on this earth, Satan can't affect everybody, obviously. So it's very highly unlikely, very unlikely, that Satan even bothers you. He ain't got time for you. He lets his little imps bother you. Are you following? But even more, are y'all following? But even more than that, your biggest problem is not them. So he deceives these multitudes of these teenagers, 100 years old and under, and they follow Satan, and they go to Jerusalem, that one last battle, and that's what's called the Battle of Gog and Magog, the final battle. Now, Latrice isn't in here, and if I have to explain something to my wife, I have not been clear, because my wife is a Bible scholar. She is. I'm amazed sometimes. She's not here, so I can say that, at her knowledge. Anyway, she wanted me to go through this again with her. These two battles of Gog and Magog. So let me make this clear about the two battles of Gog and Magog. There are two battles. This mentioned in Scripture of Gog and Magog. The first battle, we see it in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where in that battle, where the armies of the north come upon Israel, and actually we read in Ezekiel 39 that God pulls them, like with a meat hook, he pulls them down, and it would be the armies of Russia, my mind is gone. Syria, Turkey, part of China, all of them to the north up there. There's 8 or 9 armies that's listed, nations that are listed there. Gomer, Germany, all a part of Germany. Anyway, there's different things in there. I won't go into all that. But I believe this takes place after the rapture, after the translation of the saints. Because you see, and before the tribulation period, the rapture, the battle of Gog and Magog, the first one, and then the tribulation period. The tribulation period does not begin with the rapture. Let me repeat, people have that confused. When Jesus comes for us, the tribulation does not begin immediately. There's a short season. I don't know how long it is. The tribulation does not begin with us. The tribulation, we find, begins in Daniel chapter 9, where the Antichrist signs that agreement with Israel. And by the way, there was an agreement this week. I don't know how it's going to hold out. Somebody sent me a text. Isn't it amazing that Trump can sign an agreement with the Hamas, but he can't sign an agreement with the Democrats? Yeah. That's a whole other story, you know, but you get the point about the peace. The whole world's looking for peace and all. Well, till the Prince of Peace comes, we're not going to get perfect peace. Where was I going before I got off on? Oh, the Gog and Magog. Okay, that in between, that the Antichrist will sign that agreement with Israel. And I believe that takes place after the armies of the north comes and invaded Israel. They will invade Israel, okay? And then the Antichrist comes up. We got to have peace, fellas. Got to have peace. That first battle, everyone is defeated from the north, the armies of the north in the battle of Gog, except 1/6 of the armies. We find that in Ezekiel 38 and 39. 1/6 goes back up north. In other words, 5/6 of the army is destroyed. God wipes them out supernaturally. God does this, okay? And I picture them like, it's like they're like a whooped puppy with their tail tucked between their legs, you know, head back north. And that's when the Antichrist stands up, signs that peace agreement. The tribulation then begins. Are you following? 7 years takes place. Armageddon, Antichrist. So there's actually three battles. The battle of Gog and Magog, Armageddon that we talked about, and then the final battle that will ever take place, ever. And we're going to get into that about till enemies place under his feet, the purpose of the millennium. Anyway, that's the final battle of Gog and Magog when Satan's loosed. He deceives multitudes, the Bible says, as the sand of the sea. All these young people that have been born during the millennium, that's under the age of 100, many of them, most of them will follow Satan. And the Bible says they're all destroyed. So that's why there's two battles. 1/6 goes back. This last battle, they're all destroyed. So you see the battles, the difference there. Let me move on. There's so much here. But do you get that? I had to share that with Latrice, and she says, wow, I could have had a V8. I got it. You know, that kind of thing, like a light bulb. You know, in cartoons, a little light bulb, boom. So there's three battles. Gog and Magog, the first one. Armageddon, separated by about 7 years. Gog and Magog, separated another 1,000. Okay, let's move on. Let me read this. After a 1,000-year reign of Christ, there's one final battle, the final battle of Gog and Magog. Christ has the final victory over Satan and now can claim the conditions of putting down all rule and authority. That's why this verse is so important. In verse number 24, that he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all power and all authority. That doesn't happen until the final battle of Gog and Magog, when he's completely destroyed his enemy. Are you following? And then an amazing thing takes place, and we talked about this in Bible study Ray Deardorff. He ought to be a doctor. He's an intelligent man, you know, with Ray Deardorff. We talked about this Thursday, about at the millennium, why? What, we know there'd be a millennium because of the promises and the prophecy, but why? What's the purpose of it? A couple reasons. Number one, to show the depravity of mankind. Remember, they can't blame Satan. 1,000 years Christ ruled and he reigned. Perfect reign, perfect peace. You're not going to impeach him. You're not going to try to take him to perfect rule of righteousness for 1,000 years. But yet people still rebel.